Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive is live, and a lot to get to. I don't know why. Shout out to Tyler Milner, who went out, and we got Mike Florio coming up at 3 o'clock. We got Mike Florio coming up. Oh, boy. Mike Florio yesterday said, just something's going on around there in Houston.
Tyler's like, in on it. That's why.
Feels like the Eagles. Feel like the Eagles from a couple of years ago. Some people don't like each other. So, what is going on? I want to do some digging, and then this happens. Not to mention, we'll get a little bit more understanding of what looks to be Gardner Johnson's replacement in a week, Jimmy Woods, and those legal situations. So,
Jimmy Woods.
Who the hell's Jimmy Woods?
Sounded cool as hell, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Seems like a good nickname if we can find somebody to handle it.
Jimmy Woods. Jimmy Ward, excuse me. He'll catch us up on what to look for with that as he's off the commissioner's exempt list. But this is interesting. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so you got a chance in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair of tickets to go see the Texans in an absolute must-win game coming up on Sunday as they host the Tennessee Titans. So stay tuned, 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So make sure you're staying alert and ready for that. By the way, those tickets, front row tickets in the bullpen for Sunday against the Titans. All right, Clint, the news of the day for people who may be just jumping in, the start of the show here, the Texans release C.J. Gardner-Johnson, safety. He, as we've talked about multiple times this year, arguably was their number one offseason addition as they trade Kenyon Green, an absolute bust. They trade him. By the way, Kenyon Green has been on and off again out of the league since really that trade has happened. I think he just got signed to their practice squad again after being released earlier this year. But they give him the boot. We thought, boy, they clearly won this trade. You get a starter in Gardner Johnson. He is gone, Clint. And according to Aaron Wilson, among issues with C.J. Gardner Johnson, there was friction behind the scenes with the veteran safety, criticism of teammates, complaints about his role, including wanting to blitz more frequently, and apparently requested a trade also with C.J. Gardner-Johnson per Aaron Wilson. He was critical of teammates, in particular in the secondary, and didn't like his role, as we said. It was a locker room issue, and ultimately this wasn't a good fit for the team or for the talented player in Gardner Johnson. All right, your thoughts now, Clint, if you hear this, to me, shocking move for the Texans as they go into a must-win game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that this guy has done enough, ruffled enough feathers to get booted off the team 3 weeks into the season.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is a guy that, as John Lopez just said 2 weeks ago, got a bunch of money up front on a deal. This is a guy that was brought in here with Super Bowl pedigree and that pelt on his wall last year and is a playmaker, is a ball hawk, is a veteran vocal leader, which you can argue that you need desperately on this defense. Derek Stingley Jr. is not real vocal. Danielle Hunter's not real vocal. Azeez Al-Shaair is a communicator, but I don't know that he's an overly vocal guy when it comes to holding guys' feet to the fire. I thought this was a key piece to this defense to get them to take the next step. To think that whatever he's done under the whole umbrella of everything you just mentioned of being critical of teammates and wanting a different role on his team, it seems like those are minor issues. Even if he was very loud with all of them, it seems like those are very minor issues relative to getting released from a team and this team be willing to eat at least $6 million worth of dead cap hit. So I'm shocked that he is no longer with this team. I think the other part is, like, if you bring C.J. Gardner-Johnson into your locker room and you expected him to fall in line and be one of the do-your-job-and-shut-up guys, it was a piss-poor decision from jump. He's never been that kind of player. He never will be that kind of player. He's going to be vocal and at times probably too vocal. You probably should have known that before you signed him. So I'm interested to hear the details, which I think – one way or another are going to emerge. Now we'll see how the organization plans to handle it. I think this is a situation where if I were directing D'Amico Ryans from a PR perspective, I would probably say, hey man, you might want to shed a little bit of light on this, because you know that CJ Gardner-Johnson is absolutely going to do it within the week on some podcast somewhere. And if you want him to build the story,
you think we'll hear from CJ?
100%, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it'll be sooner rather than later. I think it'll probably be in an emotional state, so it'll be very raw, I would imagine. But yeah, I mean, this is one where you got to consider the player that you're dealing with, and if you're the organization, you got to get out in front of this. And I'm not saying you just throw all the skeletons out there, but you got to say more than, hey man, we're moving on to the next guy. Like, there's got to be some level of transparency here, or you can just let the disgruntled player you can let them build the narrative around the organization and whatever's going on,
because right now it's just speculation.
Right.
And you're going to have, because this is a what the hell is going on?
Everybody in the NFL, this is one where everybody in the NFL is going to be looking at, like, well, who speaks first? What the hell happened? This isn't Dez King, right? This isn't Dez King. This isn't one of the guys that you release and then somebody else might pick up when they have four injuries at that position by week eight. Like, this is, I think all eyes will be there. I think the ears will be there. People will be talking about it. And the other part of that, Ron, is it's real easy to stick your head in the sand if you're the Texans when you're a 10-win team.
And you're 0-3.
You got to move a little different when you're 0-3.
With expectations.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, you 10 wins, second round of the playoffs, ahead of the curve in your rebuild, you can stick your head in the sand and everybody will say, yeah, but them guys are winning, it don't matter. 0-3, people look at it and go, what in the hell is going on in Houston? And they'll turn to C.J. Gardner-Johnson to get a little peek behind the curtain. It's just the way the world works right now. And so if it were me, I believe I'd be a little more transparent with this one of why this didn't work and not just, hey, man, we went our separate ways.
Speaking of that, the next time we should hear from D'Amico should be right here tomorrow on The Drive.
Right here, huh?
Yeah, he usually speaks on Wednesdays. Him and CJ, the other one, Stroud. He usually speaks on Wednesdays. They both do, and you'd imagine, obviously, that's going to be addressed, and he will address exactly what you're saying. He will address it, I would assume, right off the bat before a question is even approached to him, and we'll hear what he has to say. Because, as you said, man, you don't go from playing virtually the whole damn game.
93%, Ron.
And I'll be honest with you, I know we'll get to... Usually on Tuesday, we have a tape drop Tuesday right off the bat. We'll have that a little bit later on in this hour. But I know you've watched some things. I rewatched the game. And, I mean, defensively, I don't know what the PFF grades are, but I would imagine he was probably one of the better players in the game, not to mention playing the whole way.
He was playing a lot of center field. They somehow Bullock was down around the line of scrimmage a little bit more. Somehow Petrie obviously is down around the line of scrimmage a lot more than he is. So if that complaint, I could probably see a little bit. But yeah, he was in the game 93% of the time. And nothing stuck out to me.
And making an impact, played. I mean, you would look over and say play bad.
I would argue that the long pass play to end the game that kind of ended it for the Texans, that was Kamari Lassiter. And then you can also I think probably point to Bullock. He dropped down in the hole and probably should have been in that slant window and collapsed on that throw and didn't. And it was you know out the back door. Now maybe I don't know if zero should have, or what was he was wearing, 8 or 0 8. I don't know if Gardner Johnson should have been over the top or not, or maybe there was something there. But to my knowledge, watching the film, it looks like he played really, really good. And
to think that they would roll out with him, Jimmy Ward, he's even eligible to come back after this game.
Yeah,
he can't come back until after week 4, right? So I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later. They are really, really thin now. And probably going to have to go outside of the organization along with pulling up guys from the practice squad to help this. But Clint, I'm really here from the people because I see the text line, YouTube and Twitch is going. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. As I said, what's your feeling now you hear this? The Texans are trading, which we thought one of their leaders on their team, a guy they went out and made a trade for to go get, recently gave him more money up front, redid his deal where he got more money up front, played virtually the entire game defensively, and then they just sliced and diced. Your thoughts on it? Clint, we've been saying it. We've felt it. There's something going on with this team, and it is more than just them being 0-3. There is clear issues in this going around this team. You can feel it, you can sense it, you can see it when all of them speak, when you can feel it. And then this move occurs, Clint. This is deeper than just 0-3. What's going on here? And I don't see how in any way this doesn't intensify the issues that are happening there, because rest assured, as you said, he is an alpha in that locker room. There has got to be a good amount of people who ride with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and are with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and probably have similar issues and complaints that C.J. Gardner-Johnson may have had. And there is – I wouldn't be shocked at all, Clint, if there is some sort of group of people saying, what is this? What is going on that are not rocking with this decision? And then maybe some others that are like, yeah, fine, he's going to – this in no way – to me, helps whatever is going on in that locker room.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't help. I mean, winning healthy, winning franchises don't have this kind of thing happen. Don't have a guy play 93 snaps that you brought in to be a game changer and help your organization take the next step, which the next step is AFC Championship, Super Bowl, and then you cut him less than a month into the season. Like that's not a winning move. Some of the stuff you can't help, right? Some of the draft pick stuff that we've talked about, some of the offensive line stuff that we've talked about, you know, having to go with Joe Mixon versus Saquon Barkley, maybe some of those things you can't help. When you get this one in-house, this is one that you have a choice to make and a way to move, and they chose to get him up out of the building. So I'm sure some details will emerge, and you know, we'll find out a little bit more about what the heck's going on, Ron. But I cannot help but, you know, to your point of like it, other players maybe siding with or agreeing with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I don't know, man.
You don't think he's a lone gun in there?
Well, I don't think he's a lone. No, I mean, I think he probably spoke some truth, and I don't doubt that there's maybe a couple of guys that may agree with him. But when you look at, I mean, you look at the guys on this team that can move the needle. I mean, they are all lockstep, like D'Amico Ryan's lockstep. I ain't stepping out of bounds whatsoever. I mean, Will, Aziz, Jimmy Ward, Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud.
C.J.'s completely in that?
C.J. ain't bucking nothing. I mean, the only guys that you would think would buck, it's Joe Mixon. He's gone. Dalton Schultz ain't doing nothing. Dalton don't care about nothing. Play a little football and go get on that video game.
I feel
game.
Like C.J.'s been bucking it his own way.
There's a different conversation there about C.J. and the organization, and I even think the agent that he has is not afraid to ruffle some feathers and state the obvious, but be aware of the obvious and say, is this really somewhere we want to be? And so I do think there's a conversation that could possibly be you know, emerging here about, hey, man, is, I mean, CJ, because there's no way behind closed doors, there's no doubt, maybe not CJ, but there's no doubt his representation has to look at the way he's been handled since he got here and go, are y'all kidding me? Whether it's the lack of targets, whether it's the lack of protection, the lack of development, the lack of, I mean, a consistent play caller. I mean, if you're his representation, you got to be looking at this thing like, what in the hell is going on?
That was what Tyler and I were talking about before we came on, is one thing we're seeing here, and I'm not going to say that CJ is just completely innocent in this, because I do think he's probably had some piece in how we've gotten here. But this is in no way how you want your young franchise quarterback to be. This is not the setup that you want, where it seems and feels like there is drama, something. Just it doesn't seem together. Like I'll be honest, CJ Stroud has not looked like he has enjoyed anything for months.
They started out 6-2 last year, yeah. And then they went, what was it, 5-4, 4-5?
Yeah.
6-2, and they ended up 10-7. Yeah, so they went started out 6-2, and then, does that make sense? And then four and five, and so they've lost 3 straight here. They're 4-8. You know, in their last 11 games, it's been a rough road, man.
Yeah, I mean, but you could see it in CJ's face for weeks, months, like even in training camp, that he just like he don't look like he's feeling it. I don't think any of this stuff helps. And this is just not how you plan it, right? The first what felt like 2 years or I'd say year and a half, going to what you just said, the first year and a half, like you were like, this is exactly the setup you want for a young quarterback, right? He's got a head coach that and a culture that has shifted and changed. It felt that way. This feels like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is going on? And that is not at all what you're looking like. All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, we'll take a look at what this means on the field with CJ Gardner-Johnson and where they go on the field, because they are certainly thin in the back end. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the big news of the day, Texans release safety CJ Gardner-Johnson, citing, according to Aaron Wilson, friction behind the scenes with the veteran safety, criticism of teammates, complaints about his role, and including wanting to blitz more frequently. Also reports that that a trade request by Gardner-Johnson was made. As I see people, as we'll look at it here in a second here about what this means on the field for them, as I see people texting in on the text line on YouTube and Twitch, run 3 games in, total dysfunction it feels like. CJ Gardner-Johnson sucked, we won't miss him. CJ has looked like Stroud, has looked like his dog has died every day since camp started. And then here on YouTube and Twitch, CJ Gardner-Johnson must have said something to piss off the wrong person. CJ Johnson is always getting kicked off teams. This is probably him. A lot of people coming in with their thoughts about this move with CJ Gardner-Johnson, as he is no longer a part of the Texans. Also, our guy Pals, LOL, Ron projecting a lot of stuff on CJ's face.
On which CJ?
I'm guessing Stroud. Yeah, I mean, I mean, CJ Stroud has not appeared. Yes, I guess maybe you see it a different way. CJ Stroud, his entire demeanor, his how he is going is completely different than what it has been in previous years. To me, now to you it may be different. To me, it looks completely different. He looks like he is in a place of not enjoying what is happening. And I understand. I mean, even before they went 0-3, he's looked that way. And all I'm simply saying is, hey, this is not how you would want your young franchise quarterback to be rolling through. Two coordinators in the last, 3 years, and it feels like maybe this coordinator is really struggling at this point. May take a while before he finds his footing. The offensive line situation has damn sure not been good, and they have tried to fix it multiple times, and that has not worked. So I'm just saying, this is just not the setup you would want for your young quarterback. And he appears to be wearing it, to me, on his face.
Yeah, look, I think, as I said in training camp, I think there's been something off about CJ for since the beginning of training camp. And I said at the end, I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know if it was the shoulder. I don't know if it's the getting beat up every day. I don't know if it's the offensive changes. I don't know what it is, but there just seems to be something off about CJ. There's to use the phrase of Deshaun Watson, it seems to be like there's some joy has been stolen.
Oh my!
It seems like there's been some joy stolen somewhere along the way, and so again, I don't know if that's worry and concern about an injury, or worry and concern about your protection, or worry and concern about your play caller, or the weapons that you do or don't have, or the injuries to your buddies. We know that has impacted him emotionally. And so I don't know what it is, but I've sensed a little something different about CJ for a while. And look, and I say all that to say, I mean, hell, he wouldn't be human if with what he's had to go through the last year, and including training camp and now three games this year. Hell, if we weren't seeing something, he wouldn't be human, yeah. Right? So I mean, I fully understand it. I don't know exactly what it is, but I fully understand that something could be an issue.
Yeah. Let's look on the field here with the loss of C.J. Gardner-Johnson in that secondary. And they are thin, Clint. Super. I mean, I'm just not even just talking about from a safety perspective, just thin in general. Derek Stingley Jr., maybe we'll find out more tomorrow about him and his injury, but he didn't play the rest of the way when he came out of the game the final time and missed a little over a half in that game. We'll see where he is. He's questionable. D'Amico said yesterday, day-to-day, with Derek Stingley Jr., so we'll see what happens there. There's Kalen Bullock. MJ Stewart now slides in. As they said, MJ Stewart, next man up. He slides into the role of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and then obviously Lassiter and Petrie. But then on the bench, Clint, Tremon Smith is the only secondary member on the depth chart right now on the roster that they have, and he could be there in place of Derek Stingley Jr. like he was in the game if he's unable to go. And on the practice squad, they have Damon Arnett, Miles Bryant, and D'Angelo Ross left. And those, Miles Bryant is the guy that you would think has played in that nickel role a bit, and he would be the one. I don't know if this means they have to go, outside of the organization as well, Clint. Maybe look at some practice squads or a trade or something. But they are really, really thin because Jimmy Ward is not eligible to come back until after the Titans
game. Well, look, I think they're really confident in the guys that they do have on the roster. MJ Stewart, I think they're really confident in Miles Bryant. I think they'd be super confident in Jalen Petrie moving back. And so I think this boils down to me to a corner situation, right? I mean, who is going to be your third corner if Derek Stingley Jr. can't go out? I'm not worried about the
safety part.
Yeah, the safety part of it from a numbers perspective, whether we agree or not, I think they are very confident in MJ Stewart. I think they're very confident in Miles Bryant and like I said, Petrie. But I think that third corner, as it was last week, could come into play here. Look, I thought Tremon Smith played really well.
Yeah.
It just staying off the radar means he played well. So, I don't necessarily not concerned about him playing, but boy, you're one injury away from who's going to play corner. Miles Bryant? I mean, what are you going to do then?
Outside, yeah.
Yeah, Damon Arnett, you got to move, so who's going to be the third corner this week? I think they got plenty of options at safety.
Yeah,
they're not C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I mean, look, I would argue that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is from a tackling standpoint, from what the Texans look for, from being physical to getting downhill to tackling and filling holes. I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson does it as well, if not better than anybody out there. I mean, when it comes to tackling, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a machine now. I mean, especially for a guy his size. There's zero hesitation shooting gaps and tackling running backs and things of that nature. That's jumped off the screen multiple times in the first three games. And maybe Azeez Al-Shaair has been better, but he's had some struggle. He's struggled tackling. So, I mean, you got to kind of bounce that around. This ain't about numbers. This is about caliber player, in my opinion, on his defense. And that's going to hurt any way you slice it. Whether you like the guy or not, that's going to hurt.
All right, let's do a little tape drop Tuesday here. As Clint has watched the film on that game against the Jags, he'll give you his thoughts on what he saw. That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Tyler just said in my ear, can I name this band?
They had a different tune that was one of the first bumpers I educated you on whenever we started here together. No, but great guess. I could hear that.
I think I know the song.
Keep on.
Keep on. I don't have it.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow, man.
I apologize to you, Flea.
It's a great song that was on the Power Rangers
Flea?
Soundtrack.
Yeah, he's at every Lakers game he can get to.
Very well-endowed man.
Flea
really?
Flea had a big piece.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I knew Tommy Lee did.
Yeah, yeah. Also blessed.
Shout out to Pete. She's got to be, man. All right, let's get into it. A little tape drop Tuesday, Clint, as we do each and every Tuesday. You watch the tape, and this one was frustrating while we watched the game, as the previous weeks were. What did you see when you watched the tape?
Well, let's start with the play that I'm reviewing over and over again right now. I think the C.J. Gardner-Johnson being released from the Houston Texans, I think that's the best place to start right now. That is what has been reported and what is going on with the Texans right now. One of their key additions in the offseason that brought Super Bowl Super Bowl experience and vocal leader, like a level of dog that was a good ad. Somehow in about a two-week span has done enough to get ran up out of Houston. He's been released. And a lot of people now are pointing to the big play, the big throw, Trevor Lawrence to, what was it, Brian Thomas Jr. To get the Jacksonville Jaguars down inside the 10-yard line that ultimately ended up being the winning touchdown, which we gave to him. We just allowed them to walk in. And I'm not so sure that this is being accurately reported. Now he definitely comes out of off the hash and got like a quarters look, and he comes off the hash and chases an out route and opens up that middle of the field window. But you've got a backer running and playing man chasing a running back. You've got a corner and a safety kind of bracketing an outside receiver because a tight end blocked. I can't tell if this is quarters or if it's some kind of man where Kalen Bullock just freed up. But the technique of each corner playing outside shade tells me that it's supposed to be quarters, at least over the top. And if you want to point to this as a reason why C.J. Gardner-Johnson got a little bit sideways, is he should have sat in that window instead of chasing that out route underneath, which opened the window, if it is indeed base quarters coverage. But if it's man, then he does the right thing. I'm not real sure what to think. I would probably bet on it was quarters at this point in time over the top because both cornerbacks were outside leverage, inviting the inside route, but knowing that they have help inside there or that they should have help inside there. But I don't think it's egregious enough. I don't think a blown coverage in this particular situation under these calls and what I'm seeing is egregious enough for that to be a reason why you cut a guy. Now, it may be a reason why an argument ensued.
Dude, I'm about to say, hell, that's the case. There's a lot of offensive linemen that should have been sliced and diced.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
assignments.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is, now that may be why an argument ensued. Now, there may be a what the hell was the corner doing playing outside in a man situation. There may be a what was C.J. Gardner doing vacating that part of that zone so quickly and allowing that window. that creates some kind of argument, some kind of debate in a locker room post-game or maybe in a film room Monday when they're watching film, and all of a sudden C.J. Gardner-Johnson blows up on Kamari Lassiter or on D'Amico Ryans or somebody, and they believe that the best thing to do at this point is to get C.J. Gardner-Johnson out of the building. But just for Tape Drop Tuesday purposes, it looked like a pre-snap quarters look. C.J. Gardner-Johnson barreled down on the slot out route, left that window open. Both corners are playing outside technique, and so it could have very easily been a blown coverage right there. So take that for what it's worth. Again, I don't think we've seen Kamari Lassiter get his nose in the backfield and get beat over the top for touchdowns this year, yeah, and it didn't result in benching or getting cut.
But to all of it, even if it was that, what even argument could have sparked, all right, you're out of here.
Right. Yeah, that's tough.
You know.
And it's hard. We're going to have this conversation later about C.J. Gardner-Johnson probably multiple times, but it's hard to think that 2 weeks ago you were giving him more money up front and getting in bed deeper with him, and now all of a sudden you're at a spot where you're through with him. But nonetheless, the film will show. As I said earlier, I thought he played really well in the game. When I saw this play in the game, I thought it was man, so I thought he was clear. There is a view, again, where it could be a C.J. Gardner-Johnson mistake that gave up that long pass. Now, to the other points that are being made out there, he voiced his opinion of we should blitz more, and particularly he should blitz more. He did play center field a lot more. I don't know how. I mean, I noticed it at the time, but I didn't notice it from his perspective. I noticed that Kalen Bullock was spending a lot more time around the line of scrimmage in this last game than he typically does. And so C.J. Gardner maybe didn't take kindly to being the guy that was playing center field more than playing to his instincts around the line of scrimmage. That did show up on film as well. But the only mistake or the only frustration point I could see is that last play. Because I'm going to tell you, the film will tell you that he is as good as anybody on this defense, as good or better than anybody on this defense at getting downhill, plugging gaps, tackling running backs. I mean, he has been really, really good and flashes on film. So, again, that's just this week's film. I can't tell you about, you know, week one and two. I didn't chart his plays, but nothing stood out of like, boy, that's terrible. there's that, Ron. I kind of tried to look at this thing from a little different perspective this week and kind of see what position groups really stuck out. I'll start with some positive and stay on C.J. Gardner-Johnson's side of the ball. I thought the defensive line was tremendous. I thought the defensive line, Tojai comes in and he really anchored down, didn't get pushed around.
He was active this week.
They all did significantly better, which, like I said, it doesn't surprise me that I knew D'Amico Ryans was going to get that part of it figured out. Now, on the offensive side of the football, I think there's a couple things, Ron. I don't believe, and in no way, shape, or form, am I minimizing the level of frustration with an organization that decides in a game that you've got to win that you're going to rotate your left guards, Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs. I don't like that approach. However, I would not have a problem at all, Ron, with Juice Scruggs starting from here on out. Lakin Tomlinson is one guy.
So is that bad, huh?
Well, it's just I think it deserves to give your guy Juice Scruggs a shot. I mean, Juice is, I said it before, I think Juice is built to be a guard. He's a man mover. I think he's going to be good in a run game. I don't think that's any level of concern there. But I do think Lakin Tomlinson is enough of a liability in the pass protection game where I could see them moving off of him. Now, I don't like the rotation crap. I want my quarterback to feel good about who he's looking in the eye, at least throughout the week. I want you to look in the same eyes on Sunday that you looked at throughout the week. And I think Juice Scruggs, Lakin Tomlinson last week was not good. I think he's the one guy that consistently just seems to be overmatched, if you will. Seems to be kind of the technique mechanics are a problem. He seems to be overwhelmed in pass protection. So I would be okay if Juice Scruggs gets in there. On the C.J. Stroud front, Ron, he's got some bad habits, man. He's got some bad habits, kind of what we've discussed in the past of like the abuse that he took the last 10 games of last year, or last 9 games of last year, I guess. I guess it was 10 because there was 2 playoff games, so I guess it was 10 games. Along with this training camp, I mean, C.J. Stroud, he's not pushing up in the pocket. He could have avoided 2 different sacks if he would have just shifted in the pocket like most quarterbacks do, just some basic pocket movement and or slid up in the pocket. He had Nico Collins screaming wide open across the middle on one where he ended up scrambling for a good gain, but just staying in rhythm and getting Nico involved in that. Like he is seeing the rush. He is flushing the pocket too early multiple times.
Yeah. I noticed that, yeah.
So there's no doubt he has created some bad habits and an early eject button from the pocket, and I think it's becoming a problem. I don't know if it's the pressure or if it's we've heard D'Amico Ryans talking about I encourage him to do those things. I would never encourage my quarterback to do those things when he's a pocket guy. So that may be part of it too, but the bad habits are showing up time and time again. Some of the things that you kind of see that you can tell he's swimming mentally is, you know, his internal clock is sped up when it shouldn't be, right? And then it's slow when it should be sped up. There's times when he's an obvious cover two look with a corner rolled up in the flats and a safety over the top, and he's throwing a flat route to Nico Collins and getting him blindsided, or Dalton Schultz and getting him blindsided. Like, that's football 101. You just don't do that. You work elsewhere, right? And it hasn't killed the team. It's a completion. It's a two-yard gain. But those are things that quarterbacks of C.J. Stroud's ilk, typically, they get beyond and they move, and it's not a problem. The pick that was thrown, atrocious. You can't do it. You just simply
– as bad as it was when you watched
it. Well, he can make that decision if he wants to, but that ball's got to be thrown up and over the top to the sideline. And C.J.'s capable of making that throw. He threw it flat and behind the receiver and allowed the D.B. – to go make a play. That's just that just simply can't happen. You can't throw that ball. You can't shoot that ball in there in that situation. That's got to be an over-the-top, late on the sideline, and he's just better than that. I think CJ, it's CJ's regressing. And it's not like last year it was, hey, you're in the midst of just getting hit consistently. Like there's reasons, there's ways that CJ could help navigate some of this pressure and make a big difference in a Texans game. It wouldn't take but a few plays these first few weeks to make a big difference. C.J. Stroud could do that. And then that brings me to the final play. Because I always want to go back, when I go in hard on D'Amico and Nick Cayley and all these guys, I want to go back and really watch rewatch the All-22. It is criminal to have not helped Arianti Urshfi on that last play. Dalton Schultz is literally lined up from me to you. All he's got to do is bury his helmet in Josh Hines Allen's ribs one time and then get out in his route, and we may be singing, we may be 1-2 right now with a better feeling, better taste in our mouth, better feeling in our chest. Right now, that's as criminal as I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't think you need the All-22 to know they could have just given him some help. But it made it even worse to see who was just right there.
Oh, it's just painful to watch.
Hell, a play fake. They could have done a play fake on third and one. Yeah. Just to stop.
And I got some stuff. We don't have time right now, but I got some stuff on the wide receivers too. And it's not all their fault, but man, they just, you can't win with it. Yeah. Can't win with it.
All right, coming up, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the latest, whatever it is, surrounding the Texans as they lose C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Don't lose. They release him. We'll get his thoughts on that as well as many other things around the league coming up next.